Hello and welcome to TechEd. This session is Tips and Tricks for Building International Windows Store Apps. I'm Yasser Makram. I'm an independent consultant from Cairo, Egypt. And this session, we will focus about real-world tips and tricks. We'll go through the basics for building international apps using XAML and JS and JavaScript and HTML. And also, we will talk about the tips that you will need to build great international apps. So with Windows 8, we have a great opportunity with the Windows Store. We have access to 120 countries plus, 70 plus currencies, 80 languages, okay? And the local currency is something special to Windows 8, so in selected countries, you can pay with the local currency. You will not go through all the transactions and currency exchange, so it's a very good opportunity. And actually, from my experience, the global exposure of Windows 8 Store apps gets you a lot of downloads, and for example, by just localizing the app name, I witnessed double the downloads in specific countries. Okay, and of course, for enterprise apps, we have international audience, and there is a requirement, enterprise requirement, to localize our applications. So we'll talk about the technical challenges in. Including how to handle text, how to handle the transaction translation workflow, and how to load localized files, for example, images or audio files, and how to handle currencies and dates and times. So for to handle strings in HTML, it's really simple. All you need to do is to add a folder for each language you need, and add a res.json file, resources.res.json file. It's a JSON formatted file that will be automatically picked up by the runtime, and from there you will get your resources. So actually, the resources will not be packaged as res.json. The resources in both XAML and HTML will be compiled into binary files called PRI files. And you can dump these files into XML, so you can go through it and see how the compilation works. But for localizing strings, you will create the res.json file, add key value pairs of IDs and string values, and from there you can use data-win-res attributes. It's a special attribute that comes with WinRT, and you can, from there, load your strings and bind your strings to your UI. And to do that automatically, the files need to be called resources.res.json. If you need something like errors.res.json or something specific, you will have to do some manual tweaking to load the resources. And so the format of the data win-res attribute is a JSON formatted string. You'll get a curly brace where you have the property name, like if you want to bind the text content of a div. You will have inner text or text content and the resource ID, colon resource ID between single quotes. And the property name cannot be a reserved JavaScript word. So if you need, for example, to bind the CSS class, you can't use the class as name. You need to use the property as class name, okay? and then you can bind the class. And there is a requirement for loading resource strings in HTML. That is, you need to call winjs.resources.process all function. This need to be called once per page. Traditionally in the ready event handler. So don't forget, because if you don't call this function, the resources will not be loaded. It's the same if you're building data binding, WinJS binding the process all, it's the same, but this is for loading resources. If you need to load the resource strings manually, you need to use winjs.resources.getString and give it the string ID. And here you will get a return value from which you can use the dot value string. There will be two properties. The value property will give you the string value of the resource ID. If you need more advanced control over loading resource, like if you need to load a custom resource file, not the resources.res.json, or you need to load a specific language, not the default language, you can use the Resource Manager API, which is a little bit more complicated, but gives you a lot more power in handling the strings. With XAML, all you need to do is to use RISW file. Has anyone built international Silverlight or WPF applications? Okay, so Silverlight and WPF use a file format called RISX. With Windows 8, we use RISW, which is the same schema. It's an XML file, the same schema as RISX, so you can bring up your Silverlight or WPF resources into Windows 8, but just you need to rename it from RISX to RISW. And then to do the binding, you need to use what's called X colon UID. So for each element, you need to bind the resource to. You need to set an attribute called X colon UID with the resource ID. And in your resource file, you will have to specify the in a format resource ID dot property name. So if I need to bind to the text property of a text block, or the content property of a button, I will need to use the UID, the resource ID, dot content, or the resource ID dot text, or the resource ID dot color, or anything. The resource binding is not limited to string resources. So any value with a built-in value converter, like colors, I can put a property with a color red and bind it to the foreground, and it will be automatically converted to red. Also, the font size, I can do that. Also, the flow direction, all of these properties has built-in value converters, so I can just bind it to the to my UI. If I need to have a custom value converter, there is no built-in way to do that, but you can auto-generate a binding file, auto-generate a code file representing the strings, and bind it to the UI, and from there you can use custom value converters. Binding attached property is also supported, but you have to use the full qualified name of the property. So for example, if I need to set the grid column, I have to use resource ID dot square brace using colon the namespace of the attached property. Okay, so this is the format to bind attached properties. Okay. So for a demo, let's have what we have seen. So this is a Hello World XAML application. It doesn't. Why? Hello? I switched on my machine. It doesn't. I switched here, but it's. So I have it here.
Oh, you're just using the Zessa? You said that. Let's pull that up. Oh, he's just going to get on PowerPoint. He's in slash remote in PowerPoint. No, no, he's still in the slash remote.
I can need to pause or something? Okay. So this is a Hello World application. Just to add international support, this is how it's done. I will add a folder. I can call it any name, languages, strings, whatever, and add my language qualifiers. The language qualifiers comes into this format, so if I use just EN, so it will be, this resource will be for all English cultures, English US, English UK, or whatever. If I specified EN US, so it will be specific to English US. And here is the format of the resource file. I have key value pairs. I have here the UID dot property name. So I have hello.fontsize, 42, hello.foreground, hello.text. And here I have the same properties. So all I have to do is to uncomment that text block. And here you can see the X colon UID, which is the resource ID in the RISW file. So if I run this application, I can see Hello World. In Windows 8, we have the internationalization story a little bit different and more powerful. You don't just depend on the UI culture and the current culture. You're depending on a list of preferred languages. So if the preferred language is English, and you have all your resources in English, so this will be picked up. But if you have some resources in Arabic, and you have Arabic is the top language, and some resources are not translated yet, so it will pick up the preferred language, and the missing resources will come from the next preferred language until it, if nothing in the list, it will go to the default language, and if there is nothing, it will go to the fallback language, which is the neutral, culture neutral. Okay. So if I changed the language preference, now I get the localized resource in Arabic, and also I have bound the color and font size properties. you have been building international apps, one of the main pain points was to manage the translation workflow. So I have to create the resource IDs and resource values. And if I need to add a new language, I have to manually copy all the resource IDs into the target file and start translating. And the translation story is when it depends on RISW or RISJSON, is designed actually for Visual Studio. It's not designed for professional translators or any third-party tools to manage the translation process. With Windows 8, we have the best tool to manage that, which is multilingual app toolkit. Did anyone try it before? It's a perfect tool. It's a great tool. You can download it from MSDN. It's a Microsoft tool. It's available for JavaScript, Windows 8 applications, XAML applications, and also Windows Phone 8 applications. So what does this tool do? It automatically copies your resource IDs from your default language into the target translation languages into a file format called XLIF. XLIF is an OASIS standard for translation workflow management. So it's not just for resource IDs and resource translation. It also has, what if this resource is new? Is it translated? It's now reviewed. It's done. All the workflow management is done using XLIF file format. And actually, there are many third-party tools that depend on XLIF for translation management. Okay. So there is a great tool with multilingual app toolkit also for testing your translation. So with Windows 7, we had the pseudo language of for testing, which is some language specific for testing. You have the language resources readable by the human reader, but the resource strings are a little bit expanded and added some decorations, so you can test against other languages. So other languages may have longer characters, may have higher characters. To test that, you need something like pseudo language. It will show you how your application may appear in other languages, so you can test and fix the application before it's actually out to the consumer. So let's see how MAT work, multilingual app toolkit works. So if you download it and install it, you will have in your tools a new command called enable multilingual app toolkit. When you enable the toolkit, you will get a new file called multilingual resources and the QPS PLOC. The QPS PLOC is the pseudo language specification file. And to do actually testing with the pseudo language, you need to add it. So to add it here, you need to search for QPS PLOC. Not QPS, not PLOC alone. You need to specify the full name, and then you will get this language. You can add it and move it to the top. So let's add a new text block here. And in the resource file, I will just need to add in the default language. The default language is usually en-us. If you need to change it, you have to unload the project and edit the file and change the default language yourself. If you have any requirement to have a default language other than the en-us. So we have after building, if you opened the xlib file, this is the part of the multilingual app toolkit. This is the editor. You will find here the resource. We have the good morning resource, but it's still the same value as the target property. So we can here generate pseudo translation. If we do that, open it again, you will find here the good morning. Here is the pseudo translation. It still can be read as good morning, but you can see the text has been expanded, so you can test. For example, with German or other languages that will have expanded character set. And now if we run the application, you can see now the pseudo language translation, and you will find any issues if there is any overlap, if you need to widen the text or modify the layout, so you will not get in trouble when translating your application. One other great feature of Multilingual App Toolkit is auto-machine translation. So now I can, here, if I need to add a language, right-clicking the project file, at translation language, we can go for maybe Dutch. At first, you will find the file empty. If you build the application, you will find the resources, but it's not translated yet. So what we can hear is right-click and generate machine translations. It will contact Bing translation and automatically translate the resources into the target language, which is a really good tool for getting you started. And especially with the xlib file has this built-in support for translation workflow, so you can start by auto-translating and then sending it to the translator and setting the status into reviewed or done or whatever. Okay, so it's a really great tool for building international applications. Usually, the transition story is not limited to strings, so it's a means of communication. We are communicating with the user using strings and also images, also audio. Many files are used for translation. And with Windows 8, the same heuristics, the same logic for loading the resource files is also used for loading any linked file. So if I'm having an image with the source file set as a relative URI, and I have the image in, localized into the qualified folder, the WinRT engine will automatically load the right file according to the translation. Okay, so if I'm using the relative URIs either in HTML or XAML, it will be automatically loaded. If I'm using it from the code, I can't use relative URI. I have to use ms-appx URIs or ms-resource URIs. To find this URIs, the PRI dump file is really great for that. So here you can see the named resource. So I have a resource file called license.txt. The URI of resource is ms-resource, colon, this is the package name. This is the fully qualified path of the file. So this is how you will use. Or for short, you can use it like that. ms-resource, triple slash. This will remove the need to use the full package name. Okay. And files are not only loaded according to the language. Also, I can qualify it for multiple resolutions, resolution depth. So I can have, if I have a high resolution image, I can qualify it with scale property, scale 140 or 100 or 80. This will automatically pick the suitable file according to the current DPI of the machine. If I need to load the files programmatically, I can use storage file .get file from application URI async and pass the MS-appx qualified URI. So let's have a demo for that. So this is a JavaScript application, international JavaScript application, also Hello World. It's we have the language file here. We have the res.json file for the resources. And here we have the images. I have the flag according to the country. So I just put the flag image into a folder qualified with the language. Mm-hmm. And here in the HTML file, I'm referring to the file normally. Okay, so I have it here loaded. If I change the language preferences, it will be automatically picked up. Okay, no coding, nothing needed. You're just depending all on conventions. If you need to do it in code, here is how it's done. I'm just specifying the URI. Okay, it's qualified ms-appx triple colon images slash flag.png, and I'm using when the storage file dot application from and giving it to the URI, dot then it's the futures for to handle the async. Is there any issue with using, so you're asking if I have to use the same file name? It's more convenient. Any other way, you will have to use it, do it manually. But it's more convenient to use the same file name and put it into, so this way you can, in the UI layer, you can just refer to the file name. But the file name shouldn't be visible to the user.
No, but I just mean for the developer, the translator, or
somebody
just, they would have to know.
So you can use the file name qualified. So another convention is to use flag dot ar-eg, okay, dot png. So in this way, the convention will be in the file name, instead of adding it into a file. So this is not only limited to image or audio files. It also can be done to HTML, JavaScript, or XAML files. So here I have the home page. Let's include this in the project. I have another HTML and JavaScript file for and CSS file for this culture, and let's change the file preference. Okay, and it's a totally different HTML and JavaScript. How may this be useful? For example, if you're building a game. And in some countries, you can't use violence in the game. Okay, so you need different logic. You need to remove some features. Okay, you can do that using this feature. And usually this is done with a special build. So there will be a special build for this culture, and the application will have a different name, for example, so it can be submitted to this country alone. Okay, make sense? So it's really powerful infrastructure that gives you a lot of flexibility to handle different culture requirements and different localization requirements. Dates, numbers, and currency. This is always something that's really annoying with when it comes to localization. So you have many calendars, you have many date formats, time formats, currencies, and with .NET we had the string dot format and culture info property. And current UI culture, all these was used to control the internationalization. You can still somehow use it if you're building a .NET app, a XAML app. But if you're using a JavaScript application that depends on WinRT, you will not have access to the culture info class, and you will have to use the windows.globalization namespace instead of using the culture info. So with the Windows globalization namespace, you have date time formatting. The date time formatting class can be used to formatting strings or parsing the strings. Of course, according to the culture calendar, so not the whole world using Gregorian calendars. In Saudi Arabia, for example, they're using Hijri calendar as the main calendar. In Egypt, we use three different calendars. The main is Gregorian, but two other calendars for the Hijri and the Coptic are also used. So to do all of that, you need to use the Windows.globalization.datetime formatting namespace. It can be used to format according to the current culture, or you can specify the specific culture you need to parse or serialize the strings into. Number formatting is used for parsing and serializing decimal numbers, currencies, and all type of numbers, and it supports multiple numeral systems. Okay, so the numeral system will control the glyphs that will show with the number. Of course, it can't handle Roman numbers and English numbers, but for many numeral systems, it will automatically display the glyph according to this culture or language. So let's come to general tips. Always localize your application name and description. This will have great impact on your application, and it's very, very easy to implement. Just in the AppX manifest, instead of specifying the name, you need to specify ms-resource colon the resource ID, and that's it. Your app name will be localized. So it's a very simple thing to do, but will have great impact on your application. Respond to system preferences change. So you can have an event into your application to detect if the language preferences of the user has changed, and prompt him to reload the application or restart it. Your default language should have all the resources. This is very important because, for example, when I was building an application for an RTL language, the default flow direction was left to right. Okay, so I didn't feel the need to set it in the English resource file, so I just added a property for flow direction in RTL languages. But in the case if the user does not have any RTL languages in his preferences, the application will crash. Okay? Because the system will find a resource called flow direction, and it will find no suitable candidate to load it from. And actually, if the application is also displayed in English, okay, so it have left to right, and the English preference is at the top, the system also will try to load the flow direction from the English, and it will not find it. So it will go to the next best candidate, and it will load the right to left. Okay, so this is very important. Even if the property is the default property, and it customized only for specific culture, always have your default culture has the same default value. give the user the option to change the application language. Okay. So the user may need you to use your application specifically in a specific culture, and he doesn't want to change his language preferences. And actually, WinRT has a very simple way to override the built-in heuristics and the built-in culture, and you can specify an override for the application UI language. So give the user this option. It will have a great impact. My application, when it had this feature, my ratings went way up, and currently it went to the top, between the top and the second noteworthy app in the lifestyle section. As much as possible, try to use online services that supports internationalization. So, for example, Bing Maps. Bing Maps can get the culture and will return the location in localized strings. So as much as possible, try to do that. So let's see a demo with all of these steps implemented. So this is a currency exchange application. It will load the automatically the cultures specified in the package, and will get the rating. In this demo, it just used dummy values, but the point is, all cultures, everything is loaded dynamically from the package. So we can see here. Here is a list of the supported cultures. I'm displaying the names, the language, and the country. And you can see here the currency symbol of each country. So now to add a new culture, all I need to do is use multilingual app toolkit. To add a translation language, let's maybe try Turkish. So at first, the list will be empty. After building, it will have all the resource IDs. This used to be a manual step. And now I can use generate machine translation. And all my strings have been loaded automatically. So let's see how I can automatically load the cultures. So here you can see I have an API called windows.globalization.applicationlanguages.manifestlanguages. This property will give me all the cultures that I have defined into my application. So I will not need to manually add a Turkish an XML file or anything. I will just get it automatically from the application manifest. I'm using the manifest language to create a currency list and binding it to a a list view. And here you can see I'm using the date time formatter, windows.globalization.datetimeformatting.datetimeformatter. It's a little bit different than the string.format, the culture info. It uses long date, short date, or you, if you need to specify month, year, instead of the cryptic MMYR, okay? So it's a little bit different, but the same concept. Then I use the date time formatter, DTF.format, and I give it the date value. And here I'm just binding the data and loading the resources. Oops, I had an exception. Does that change anything? So the only thing I think maybe the issue is this list of qualifiers. SDR. So instead of Turkey, let's use. This is an issue with the currency formatter for Windows 8. It has to take the ISO code for the currency language. Okay. So here, if I make it Euro. Oops. Add translation language. Generate machine translation. Also, I have to build first and generate machine translation. And let's remove this. So it's now working fine. It's loading the German file. The German was not there yet, so I automatically loaded from the manifest language, and it's using the euro currency symbol. So here also, let's make it the language preference. Into English. Here in the English, you see that I'm loading the string, and it's formatting the date according to the country. So from the settings, I'm giving the user the option to get this list of values is automatically loaded. Okay? And when you pick any language, so for German, now I have German translation. Okay, and I have also the date time formatting in the right language. I can use it. Arabic, still working, and changed the RTL direction, and so on and so forth. Okay, and I can close the application. And open it again, and it still have the correct language preference. Although in the list of language, I didn't have any German or French or anything. Okay, but I still can do it in the application, and it's a very good feature for international users to have. And to do this, let me show you the code. In the options, JS, I'm also using the manifest language to load all the application-defined languages. I'm filling in the options. The options drop down with the language list. Okay, using here, you can use windows.globalization.language, new object, and get the lang the display name. So DE dot DE capital will be German, English between brackets United States and all. So to do that, I need to use the language class and the lang.display name. To get the currently preferred language, I can use one.globalization.applicationlanguages.primary-language-override. So primary language override is the value where if the user has set his preference to other than the Windows default. So if it's any value other than empty, it will override the system language. Okay, and if I need to revert the application to the default system, I need to set this property to an empty string. So using this value, I'm getting the currently selected value if it's overridden by the user. If it's not, I will get, if applang equals empty, I will get the windows.system.userprofile.globalization.preferences.languages of 0. So the top language will be at the index 0, and so on and so forth, the other preferred languages. And here I'm selecting the value in the list box. And if the user changed the selected language, I will set the primary language override to the selected language in the list box. And you use winjs.ui.pages.render, which refreshes the HTML page. So it will be reloaded, and the resource strings are reloaded. And the primary language override will be remembered across sessions. So it's a persistent value, and it will work between user sessions. And that's it. That's all what I needed to do to let the user change his language preferences. I'm done this for the presentation, and we will be open to questions and answers. Thank you. So anyone has any question? All good? Okay.